creepy puppets. Who's that girl? And hello, is it me you're looking for? It's Music Videos, Volume 2, this week on Tom and Hank Talk About the 80s.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
That was nice and clear and loud. How are you?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Are you?
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing. It's the same shit day after day, in and out, over and over again. What's new? Nothing. We're all going to die anyway. All right, now that I got that out of the way.
You're feeling...
It's these glasses.
You're feeling real... Well, I... What did I call you?
I know why I think I keep getting a migraine from them. Because they don't have... Because on the edge of the frame is so thin that when I hold it at a certain angle, it does that double vision thing that I get when I get a migraine, which is why I keep thinking I have a migraine.
But you look like you host Antiques Roadshow.
I do.
Or you look so good.
I could do my best Gregory Peck.
Yeah, that's when you look like Atticus Finch.
That man is innocent.
That's what it is. Well, you know what? Something that happened this weekend, the Oscars, and the reason that I bring it up is because a staple of the 80s, she played the daughter on 227.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Regina King finally won a freaking Oscar.
Yay.
She's won like every other acting award I think you can get, and she's so good in everything she does.
By the way, I loved 227. I was all about that show.
Me too.
I fucking loved it.
Me too. And I would follow Marla Gibbs For Real on Instagram. It's a verified account, so it's Marla Gibbs, and she has lately been putting up a bunch of photos of everyone from that show, especially when Regina won the other night. And so I thought that was really cool because she's been around forever and was a part, like, she was certainly like a little kind of a crush for me.
Yeah.
On that show.
Yeah.
Because she was like independent and really cool and did what she wanted to do. And she lived in a city. And I thought that was really awesome. And I thought the Oscars were really great this year.
I'm glad you thought that. You're not correct.
I am correct. No Host is the way to go. It was super quick. It was really nice. I loved it.
I felt like they had decided that morning that they needed to put it out a day early and just to put it out as quick as possible with whatever means. They're like, the host called in sick. They're like, fuck it. We don't need a host. Just wing this shit and just get it done. Get those fucking awards out of here. Let's all go back and get fucking bombed. We're tired of it.
No, I respectfully disagree.
That's good. I'm glad.
A sad thing that happened was a real legend of an actress and a huge legend of the 80s, Katherine Helmond, passed away today at the age of 89.
That's awesome.
She lived a wonderful life, and she lived a very full, long life.
You know, she also has a great role in, speaking of, why did I just forget? Sorry, brain fade.
That's all right.
And 3 and 2, and it is called... Time Bandits, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
She's in Time Bandits, and she plays the ogre's wife.
Yeah.
That's on the ship, and she's so good. And I've always loved her. I've always loved her. She's with her fiery red hair. And
yeah. And primarily known in the 80s, in the very early 80s, Soap.
Uh-huh, yep.
An amazing show I think it started in... like 77, but it went through the 80s. So it's something we should talk about one day, like a groundbreaking thing. So she was on Soap, and then, of course, Angela's mother, Mona.
Yeah.
On Who's the Boss with Tony Danza and then
Judith Light. Brazil. So, yeah.
Oh, Brazil. She's so good in Brazil. And you know what? Later, I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to remember what it was called, but she had a small part in a Johnny Depp movie where he played Hunter S. Thompson.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is it like Fear and Loathing
in Las Vegas? Yeah.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That's exactly what it is. And she was really great in that.
I didn't remember that she was in that.
She was really great in that. And so she acted up until this year.
That's amazing. Until
2018. Mm-hmm. 2018. And she did a voice in Cars.
Oh, really?
and all of them. And then all the little offshoot things. She was like the little old lady car. And so she did a bunch of stuff. She did a True Blood.
Hmm.
I think she was a vampire. I think
she was in real life.
Maybe 89 years old. So worth mentioning. Just I, if you were to watch anything, I think you should watch Who's the Boss for her take on that sexy grandma thing. Yeah,
exactly.
And how she did it, and because especially on soap, she was very ditzy, but like, you know, stupid like a fox type of a thing. And then in Who's the Boss, she was definitely like the sexy grandma. Mm-hmm. And she had dates and she wore low cut blouses. And
she was very sassy.
And she was very sassy. And so I would definitely watch her for that. But you have to watch Brazil.
Yeah,
for sure. And I think she's the high point of Brazil, actually.
I need to see that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Yeah. Very long time.
So Catherine Hillman, that one was like, oh.
Yeah.
Very sad. I mean, she's an older lady, but
yeah,
so cool.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Bye. Thanks for all the memories. Thanks for all the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Cool stuff. And it's like acting is one of those professions where if you want to, and if you can get the work, you can keep going as long as you want.
Yeah.
You know, the roles are going to be smaller and they're going to be more niche and they're going to be probably more the butt of the joke sometimes as the older person in the comedy or something. But you can still do it and you can still have a career. And it's so interesting to see that she just filmed something last year.
Yeah.
And Betty White up until 2 years ago was, you know, a series regular on a on a show.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So...
I have some good news that I think I can finally share. I don't know. Could I share this? I think I can share this. I briefly mentioned it in the last maybe couple of months, but the publisher Akashic Books has a new book coming out. They have their noir series, which features short stories from all around the world, different regions of the world that are focused on noir.
And a different city every book.
Yes.
So every book, it's like
there's
San Francisco Berlin noir, New York,
San Francisco noir, New Orleans noir. There's Helsinki noir. There's 100+ of them. And so they, a friend of mine, Jerry Thompson, is the editor, and he's asked me to do the cover photograph, and so. Probably in the next 2 weeks, we're going to be choosing the final photograph for the cover of the book, and then it gets published in April.
That's so cool.
And we'll hit the stands. I don't know which day, but anyway, it's very exciting.
But soon, right?
Yeah, very soon. Like in the next couple of months, it should be out, and there'll be signings and things like that, and I'll probably attend a few of those. But it's really nice to have be chosen to... place one of my images on the cover of a book that will be in print for many, many years and have
so cool.
worldwide distribution. And with all the money, I'm going to buy a Learjet.
Yep, great.
And I'm going to end world hunger.
Well, that is great. Though I like both of those things.
I was going to say end world peace, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it just a little bit longer.
Let's reshift that.
I will end world peace and create starvation across the globe. I won't.
Okay, good. I'm really happy about that. You know what? I was so happy yesterday when we finally decided on a topic for this week, because this is our first ever volume 2 of something.
Finally. I'm so sick of doing the same podcast every week.
What?
People don't even know. We just keep recording. I just keep... uploading the same one from last week, and people are like, yeah, I don't know, it's still funny, I guess.
It's funny. I think I've heard it someplace before, though. So we're doing music videos today, and it has been about a year.
Yeah.
Since we did our first music video show, which also marked the night that we got the microphones to work.
The microphones.
And we, so like right now we're recording and it's like 6:30.
Yeah.
That night.
I think that night we had just rolled in.
I think that night we started recording finally, because we recorded a whole podcast in front of it, but it didn't work. And we started recording like at 9:45 or 10 o'clock.
Oof. Boy, that was brutal.
And like we were crying, remember? And also, I think we're a little better at it now. Like
a tiny bit.
Tiny bit.
Not that anyone notices. But
I, sorry, I cut you off. I apologize. In Britain. And so I want to end host chat. Gonna end it. Ending it. Because there's so much to talk about, and I want to talk about everything that we want to talk about.
You're out of here, host chat. Come on, Hank. Come on, Brandon. I know when we're not wanted.
Punky, no.
Did Brandon talk in the cartoon, in the Punky Brewster cartoon? Or did Brandon just be like, woof?
You know, depending completely on fact on this one, yes.
Oh, here comes another review.
A factual statement.
Podcast is great, but let me tell you.
But listen,
Tom and Hank really don't know about Brandon. Brandon's actually...
Wait, did he die? I would really like to know. Actually, I'd love that. I'd love
that. I do know another fact. It's not Brandon. It's Brandhon.
Brandon? Brandon. Brandon.
I don't know.
Brandon. Come on, Brandon. All right, listen to me. Hi, Tom.
I'm not letting host chat go.
Why? God, do you have... You know what? I can't wait to see what's on page 17 this week.
There will be no page 17 this week.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe there will.
This dog and... Sorry, everybody.
This dog? What dog? What are you blowing at? Is there a dog on your microphone? There's dog shit on my microphone. This
dog and pony show is held together by... This dog and pony show is being held together by tape and spit. And so tangents are our milk and our bread and butter.
Our chew
milk
toy. And honey. Our milk bone and chew toys.
You know what?
I'm ending host chat.
Do you know what?
I am ending it.
Do you know what I'd like to say to you? I'd like to say, hello. Can we start talking about the thing?
Now, I don't want to bother everyone with our whole list of Lionel Richie hello puns, but we were up to like 12.
But what would Lionel Richie, what would happen if Lionel Richie were the spokesperson for Jell-O?
He would be like, Jell-O. If something was really stinky, he'd be like, Smell-O.
If he met Big Bird, he'd be all like, yellow.
Or if he just wanted to chill out, he would be mellow. When he gets tired, he lays down and seeks out a nice fuzzy pillow. All right, I'm done. Good night, everybody. I'm done.
Oh, the pillow one.
That one's a bit of a stretch, but...
Wait, he's at a campfire. It's mellow.
Marshmallow. That's a two-parter.
So, there's a little song called Hello. Hello. Oh, you instinctually thought that it was too much. By Lionel Richie. And this video...
Well, I mean...
I gotta be honest.
I hadn't watched it in years. Since it came out.
I don't think so either. It was one of the... everyone knows it and loves it and talks about it and talks about all the things that we're going to talk about. But, so, this is the third single off of his second solo album. So it's like he had already had All Night Long.
Oh, yeah.
He had already had All Night Long. Dancing on the Ceiling, I think, was the first single off this album, I believe. It's called Can't Slow Down. And so it was released in 1984, and it reached number one on three Billboard charts. And so the music video is directed by Bob Giraldi,
okay,
who's someone who's directed tons and tons of significant videos that we know from the 80s. And so it features, it's one of those 80s videos where it's a little mini movie. It's a 5-minute movie.
Yeah, there's an intro.
With no music playing. It's just Lionel Richie, and he is a, we're hoping a college professor. Yeah. And he, a college professor of drama.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so he gives, you know, he says, hey, Joey Boy, Billy Boy, you're just out of prison, and you come and you find Satin. His name's Satin. No, it's... who works at a brothel in the Old West. No, and you meet Jennifer, and she just is back from France. Ask her to marry you, or ask her out on a date. And then they start the scene, and he goes, he starts the song.
The music starts.
Right when they're talking, and then he starts the song. But it's basically Lionel Richie stalking this girl.
A blind woman. A blind woman.
Basically stalking her throughout the whole campus.
Following her around. He gets, almost runs his fingers through her hair. in the quad.
And her friends are like, hey, Jennifer, sorry we were late. And he's literally like, sorry.
He like pulls his hand back. He's like, Jesus, I almost grabbed your fucking hair.
Yes.
I mean.
And he, so you intermittently then see her in the
ceramics, sculpting class.
The sculpting class, yeah. In the studio, the sculpting studio. And you see her working on something, and it's, you can tell it's a bust of some type. And it's just very, you can tell that it's very, the head is maybe bigger than it should be.
Well, let's cut her some slack.
If I had a nickel. Now, so it gets increasingly more creepy to me.
It's very awkward the way he just sort of sits and stares at her while, and like follows her through the hallways, and then like he's in the class and he's like watching her, and then, well, and then he decides one night, I'm just gonna call her.
Yes.
And he calls her.
And of course she picks up the phone and goes, hello. And he goes, hello.
And she goes like this, fuck. Holds the phone away from her ear.
So he sings, hello, is it me you're looking for? I wonder where you are. I wonder what you're doing, or whatever it is. And then he just takes the phone from his ear and just puts it down by his side. You can only see like it's a chest up shot. And he just continues singing. And then they cut to her, and she's like so happy, but it's after like 15 seconds of him singing.
He's long gone, honey.
Long gone. And so then she puts the phone down.
Doesn't hang up.
And I'm like, wait, you could have just, after you said that first line, you could have just cut from that.
It's also like, it's almost like she knows who it is, though. She's like, oh, I know it's him calling me to not talk and breathe heavy on the phone again. It's so romantic.
So then he's singing, he's wailing away in his classroom, and a student comes in and goes, Mr. Richie, there's something going on in this sculpting studio. You really need to see it.
As if everyone's like, oh my God. What is going on in there?
You see what's going on? I can't believe
like, did somebody, is there like a body in? Like, what happened?
And so he comes in, and he goes, oh, and she goes, this is how I see you. And he goes,
spoiler alert.
And he goes, oh, I, you know, oh, it's great. I love it. It's so great. So, the bust used in that video, it bears very little resemblance to Lionel Richie. And it's been, you know, just made fun of for years, right? And so he complained to the director. Now, this is a quote that I'm saying. So he complained to the director, once again, Bob Giraldi, that the bus did not look like him. And he didn't, you know, want to use it. And could they, you know, redo it? And he said, Lionel, she's blind.
Well.
And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Good point. So there are the little, you know, it's
and he's
just,
like, yeah, but you're not motherfucker, so make it right. I'm never going to make it through this episode.
Well, I don't think you are either. But you know what? Here's the good news. We're done with that video. I do remember it. I remember because he was on such a high.
Yeah.
And he really was huge. And remember, this was like just the year before this. He did, he hosted the American Music Awards, and then they did We Are the World that night.
Wow.
So he is like Mr. Music.
Yeah.
And he was beloved and still is. He is one of the judges on the new American Idol on ABC. Second season, I think. And, you know, he's still around and everyone knows his song.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Hello is...
Now they know a bunch of other versions, too. Thanks to us.
Well, why don't you take it away with one of your picks? And I bet it's going to be Swellow.
Well, I'd like to tell you something about my pick. back in 1983, which several times, including as most recently as the last episode, I believe, and perhaps every episode leading up to it, I have mentioned 1983 as the year for me of music.
Yeah, you have.
1983 is the year. I turned 13 halfway through that year. So up until July, I was only 12 years old. And then I turned 13 and everything fucking happened. Everything exploded that year. And
it's interesting because I think like, so for 2.5 months, we are the same age.
Yeah.
2.5 months a year, we're the same age. And I'm older. So I think like little 13-year-old Henry, what was he doing? And then what was little 13-year-old Tommy doing? Yeah, yes, both of us were doing the same thing, probably at 13.
Listening to records.
It's natural to want to listen to records over and over and over.
You listen to those records, you're going to go blind. I can't hear you. Get out of my room. I hate you.
I told you I need more than a curtain.
So 1983 rolls around and two huge albums came out that year. One of those albums was The Police, Synchronicity.
Yes.
Which I loved, and I'm still a huge fan of that album. I think it's a phenomenal album. I think I love every song. Tea in the Sahara is my favorite song on the album, which is not a hit. But they had several hits from that album that came out, Synchronicity being one of them, Synchronicity 2 being another, Wrapped Around Your Finger.
So good.
Yeah. King of Pain.
That's one of my favorite songs.
Well, so, I mean, I just love this. I love The Police at that time. I never was really like a big Sting, like solo fan or anything like that. I just don't know a lot about it, but I was into The Police. I had a little Police pin and I had like a band t-shirt. But they put out in 1983 the video for Synchronicity 2, which was just a couple years after Mad Max Road Warrior came out. And so this video, they sort of took from that style. There's sort of a post-apocalyptic looking set that's built on giant pieces of scaffolding, and it's filmed on some sort of giant sound stage somewhere.
Yep.
With wind and thousands of pieces of equipment
and paper blowing everywhere,
and drums and guitars and keyboards and things just piled up and tied together with rags and they're wearing these like very ragged clothing that looks like something right out of, you know, right out of the Road Warrior. They filmed it in London. There's all kinds of shit flying through the air. There's paper and dust and garbage floating around everywhere. And they're all three standing on separate pieces of the scaffolding. They created the look using of the smoke using dry ice, actually. Dry ice and giant blowers, air blowers. During the filming, though, Stuart Copeland's tower caught on fire. And they had to have the crew all leave the building. But then at the same time, the director was like, no, keep rolling the cameras. We know it's dangerous, but just keep rolling the cameras. We want to get that. I wasn't able to see any of that in the video.
I think we saw a shot of Andy Summers. And on fire. I believe there were like embers in front or behind him.
Okay. So, yes, they were almost all killed.
So it's staying Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland, right?
Yeah. Anyway, I was like, oh, you know what? This is an interesting video. We watched so many videos when we were little and know so much about the music. And one thing that I realized I don't know a lot about is the directors of these little videos. And so I was like, well, I wonder who are these people? What else did they do? Did they do other things that are interesting? Did they do other things that I would recognize? And it turns out there was like, you know, there was like 10 to 15 people that did most of all the videos for the 80s. And if you look up, it really is. I mean, there's certainly considerably more, but a lot of these people did 10 or more bands. They did 10 or more videos. And one of the names, so I looked it up. And who did the Synchronicity 2 video? Well, it was directed by Godley and Cream. Godley and Cream were British musicians, formerly from the band 10cc. That was a rock band in the... I want to say late 60s, but I don't know if they're quite in the 60s.
Okay.
70s, mostly well known in the 70s, 10cc rock band. So they split off and did their own thing called Godley and Cream. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's true. So, they had a big hit.
Well, yeah, what is their music like?
Their music is, it's pop, it's radio pop. And their big hit was called Cry. Which they also directed the video, their own video for Cry. You'll know the song when you hear it.
Is that like a big, like, cry?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's I have the 12-inch, and I looked for it for many years, and I found it one day. Anyhow, I was like, well, I don't know. Did they really direct? Why would they, of all people, have directed this? Just must be incorrect. And so I looked up their name, and you know, it was on a Wikipedia, and it's like, oh, this needs citations to verify. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to look up 20 of the ones that I recognize and see. And sure as shit, they did over 50 videos between 1980 and like 1986. Over 50.
Wow.
Some very, very popular, super well-known. Others, stuff that I'm like, I maybe I've heard of the band, but I wouldn't know the song. But they did videos for Culture Club. They did Duran Duran, both Girls on Film and the video for A View to a Kill.
They
did Herbie Hancock's Rocket, which I mentioned several episodes ago. Yep. They did, remember Go West?
West. Yes, I loved Go West.
A video for them called We Close Our Eyes. And then they did the Peter Gabriel, Kate Bush song, Don't Give Up. They did Frankie Goes to Hollywood 2 Tribes video. They did George Harrison. They did Lou Reed. They did Wang Chung, Everybody Have Fun Tonight.
Wow.
They did Yes. They did Huey Lewis. They did Ultravox. I mean, they did a lot of videos, and I didn't realize that was a huge part of... They were barely recording artists at that point anymore. They were really video directors.
Well, they were doing, more visual things.
Yeah. And so anyway, Godley and Cream.
That's neat.
If you're not sure who they are, you'll know that song Cry. And now you know that they had their hands in all kinds of 80s videos. I didn't bother to write a comprehensive list because, like I said, it was just a bunch of fucking bands and shit. but anyway, yeah, I thought that was really cool. And I was like, oh, that makes sense now. That makes sense now. And so now I'm interested to learn more about the directors that did particular videos and what they may have gone on to do. Which we know New Order did their video for Touched by the Hand of God by the woman who did, she won an Academy Award several years ago for...
Catherine Bigelow.
Yes, Catherine Bigelow. And so I was like, oh, are these people still recording? Are they still directing? What are they doing these days?
Yep.
So I have another one for later.
Great.
But anyway, so yes, go watch Synchronicity 2. It's a killer video.
It's so cool. And it's, you know, to think about, we were kind of talking earlier about the timing. So this came out in 83.
Yeah.
And Dune came out in 84, like yep. late 84. So he was for sure filming Dune.
Yeah.
Because he has no eyebrows and the orange white,
the orange spiky white
blonde hair from Dune. And so it's like definitely like no, it's Dune, it's not Mad Max, I'm taking this from Dune because I'm in Dune. That's my sting.
That's a pretty good sting. I will kill him. That's mine. I will kill him.
From what?
From Dune.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, interestingly enough, I just want to wrap up this.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun, but Godly and Cream also directed the video for Every Breath You Take.
Oh, classic.
They also directed the video for Wrapped Around Your Finger, which is another one of my personal
candles,
favorite.
Right?
Yes.
He's dancing around the candles.
Yes, which I just love that video. They directed the 1986 version of Don't Stand So Close.
Don't Stand.
Which I didn't know there was. And then they did Sting's If You Love Somebody, Set Them Free video.
Now, see, I liked every Police song that was on the radio, but I don't think I ever wanted to invest my money in an album.
I would consider getting Synchronicity and giving it a chance because there are some really cool, very beautiful music on there that is surprisingly un-Police sounding.
And I've often heard that. I mean, obviously it's a great album. It's just, but the Sting, the solo Sting album, which I think I've talked about before, is I loved that album.
Yeah, Dream of the Blue Turtle. I've never really listened to it.
Yeah, I was really into that. That was a very like angsty thing for me in my own version to have. Yeah, I would go ice skating on the road, listen to that.
Yeah.
Do big production numbers.
By the way, I saw a kid that was young Henry.
Yeah.
And I ran back into the office to get you because he was walking in front of the store with his mom. Technically, he was about 5 feet behind his mom,
okay.
Actually.
Was he pouting?
He was wearing shorts and his socks pulled up and a T-shirt with sunglasses. And you know the famous picture of you
yeah.
where it looks like you're on a pier or
I'm
something?
I'm on a dock in my grandparents' lake cabin.
He's that age, so he's...
like. 10,
yeah,
11.
10 or 11. And this kid is walking, doing a dance routine behind his mom. And I looked and I was like, Jesus Christ, it's Hank in 1982. And I was like, I wonder. And I looked at him for a second and I was like, I wonder if I can run in and get Hank fast enough. Well, you were at lunch.
Oh,
and
shit.
I was so bummed because I was like, oh my God, he has to see this kid. It's totally him. He was doing the thing with his hands and like,
just like me.
Too cool to be with mom.
Yes.
But in his shorts and his T-shirt, it was it was really cute. It reminded me of that picture a lot.
Oh, I wish I could have saw him.
I know. With the sunglasses, though.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we received a couple emails this week, and one of them was about the fact that we don't really talk about anything past 87. And
right.
I understand that because, you know what, and all of that will come. I mean, we have a nonstop deluge of topics, right?
Yeah.
We can talk. There's thousands of films. There's hundreds and hundreds of albums. There's all artists. There's all these things that we can talk about. So we're always going to hit something. But so right now I'm going to talk about something from 1989.
This is the first.
Very late in the decade. I don't know if
we've
ever...
No, I'm just kidding.
So I want to talk about something that hit Henry on his way up, let's say. So I was like 19, almost 20 when this came out. Like my 20th birthday is right around when I got this album. And it's Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation 1814.
So good.
And so that album hit me hard. I got it on a cassette. And immediately, like, but I was still in Fargo. I was about to leave. And it was kind of like my swan song, right? Like I was kind of wrapping stuff up and I was very, very mature.
I'm sure.
I had everything together. I enjoyed Boone's Farm. Wow. Apple.
Ooh.
It was like Strawberry Hill, oh, right? Sweet and Apple. Lord. Ooh. I would really think I was the coolest by like walking down the streets of Fargo drinking my Boone's Farm. Like I.
And an unopened one sticking out of your back pocket.
Got one for later. You know, I got to treat my little lady right. She's won this Boone's Farm. Please don't beat me up. So I just loved it. I loved it. It was a big part of me moving away. When I moved away, January 3rd, 1990, when I moved away, this was like still a big album for me. And so it's huge. It's her biggest hit. And it's the only album in history on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 singles chart to have 7 singles peak within the top 5 positions. And that still holds, I guess. It's also the only album to produce number one hits on the chart in 3 separate calendar years. So 1989, 1990, and 1991... she had number one hits from this album that came out in 1989. So it spanned 3 complete years.
Amazing.
And so what I want to talk about today is the 30-minute long-form music video called Rhythm Nation 1814. And it was produced to promote the album, and they were going to play it on MTV. And they did. I played it on MTV before the album came out. But that Christmas is a Christmas that I think I've talked about before, where I said everyone in America got a copy of Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Batman, because they were the first 2 VHS movies to be released at a 1995 price point. Before that, VHS tapes were $79.95 if you were going to buy it. And they were the first 2 because they were these huge blockbusters. And it was what really propelled VHS and home video to a whole new level. And that Christmas, 8 days before I moved away, I got as a present the VHS copy of Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation 1814. Nice. And I watched it all the time. And then when I, you know, moved away and was basically by myself a lot, I could watch it and just feel, because I missed home so much. Yeah. And then I could watch it and made me feel, oh, I never thought of that. Aww. I didn't think of that until right now we're sitting here. But it made me feel good because I knew I had watched it in my parents' house. And oh, it's very, very interesting. And so... It's referred to as a telemusical, but it has a storyline that it brings in 3 separate music videos, all of which were released as singles, and they use these videos for them. So, Miss You Much, The Knowledge, and Rhythm Nation. It's obviously culminates in the big Rhythm Nation dance
breakdown.
And the breakdown, that's kind of the, you know, Miss You Much is a great video too, and it's all shot in this really cool black and white.
It's so beautiful.
I thought it was too, and like you said, it's like this could be released today.
Yeah, it was really, really, really well done.
So the director Dominic Sena and Jackson developed the screenplay, and it centers around 2 young boys who have dreams of starting like a band and having a big music career. And one of them starts to choose the wrong path to go down, and it kind of takes this turn of substance abuse and him being involved in drug trafficking. These are like 13-year-old boys. And then, spoiler alert, the other boy is collateral damage and gets shot in the street.
Hmm.
Then they do the knowledge. Then we see them perform the knowledge. But it's just, it, I loved it. It's a very interesting thing. I can't find it anywhere, and I can't find it to watch streaming anywhere, but there is a 35-minute documentary on the making of it.
Interesting.
That was part of that VHS, and so I watched that last night, and it was just like, oh my God, I watched this so many times. I know you. I know Tina. I know.
And what's the 1814? Is there a significance behind that?
Thank you for asking. So Sena referred to the project as 1814 Project when they were shooting outside and in downtown LA. And so it said all the signs pointing to where the production was for people, you know, who are working on the film to get there, all said 1814 Project. And it was just a thing that he gave, and then they just added it on.
Cool.
Because it took on kind of its own thing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the costumes are...
Yeah.
The costumes are amazing. The choreography is...
Well, and it goes through where it's like Jackson and her group of friends who are kids who all chose to take the right path, and they all like hang out in this warehouse, and you know, then they dance to Miss You Much, which is a really fun, you know, Miss You Much. It's a really fun pop song. And that was the first single. And then they're dancing around having a great time, but they chose the right path. They're light, right? They're doing the right thing. They're good kids. And then they sing a song called she sings a song called The Knowledge, and that's about what's going on in this world, and it's very much a parallel to today. And then the young boy gets killed, and the other boy wanders into the warehouse and sees them dancing to Rhythm Nation. And then at the end, there's like a whole monologue between the two of them, or dialogue between the two of them. And, you know, they hug, and she's kind of like the angel that comes in, and she's going to help him get on the right path. And it's great.
It's interesting because, like, visually, it seems so, they're wearing all that black, and mm-hmm. it's very paramilitary or law enforcement looking with the uniforms, the black uniforms and the boots and like the belts and everything and the badges on the hats and the badges on their jackets. And like, it almost has like it's very industrial, especially shot in the black and white. It's very industrial video. They're like in that warehouse, but it's like some sort of factory warehouse or packing plant warehouse. And at first you're like, whoa, it's a militaristic looking, like, oh, what? And then you realize that it's not that at all. There's just very strong, powerful people that are doing this. Yeah, it's really cool.
And they're kind of like do you remember in the 70s and 80s, in New York City, there's a bunch of guys who wore the berets?
Yeah.
The angels?
The Guardian Angels.
The Guardian Angels.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, that's kind of what it is, yeah. Right? They're all in this warehouse. They're doing this thing, but they're here and they go out and they do good and they wear this uniform and they are all together. And watching the behind the scenes is really cool. Like, I think you should do it because you're watching these kids and they're learning that dance. You're seeing them choreograph the dance and what the problems were and how it was a young choreographer and she's young and everybody's young.
I'm impressed by choreography. When I did a vintage event for the Art Deco Society a couple months ago, and there was a real choreographer there creating a dance routine for some of the performers. And I was watching him, and he was so good at it. And I was like, well, that is something that I'm so not knowledgeable about, choreography in terms of groups of people moving in a certain way at a certain time with their foot placements going here and there and their bodies moving here and there. And I'm like, well, that's something I just don't know. I'm not good. I'm not, I'm just not skilled at that. I would like to know how to do that more. I would like to know how to understand how people move their bodies.
You Such know? A craft.
I think it was one reason why I really loved watching that Suspiria remake is because the choreography in there was just fucking amazing. The dance choreography is so amazing. I'm like, I don't get that. I don't know how people do that.
You know, Ryan Murphy, who does American Horror Story and American Crime Story, the OJ thing and all that, he has a new, I think last year he did The Feud, Joan and Betty. So he did like a 8-episode series with Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon as Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. And so now he's doing Fosse and Verdon. And so it's Bob Fosse, the choreographer, with the, you know, the very stylized moves that he did, and then his muse and his one of his wives, Gwen Verdon. And so it's like that's that type of choreography, that type of, you know, there's a movie, oh, there's a movie about him. That what the movie All That Jazz.
Okay.
All That Jazz. And so it's about how he was so passionate about choreography. He also had a drug and alcohol problem, but it kind of drove him mad, this search for ways of moving the body, and it really propelled him through everything that he did. So I think that's a very interesting thing too, like choreography. So like you said, like being able to look at a body, I follow a choreographer on Instagram and he put a video up from like 1988 where one of the Jerome Robbins, I believe, who's a very famous Broadway choreographer, was like building a dance on this guy when he was young with another, with a woman. And they were like doing the things that they, and as they were moving, he would move them and shape the dance and shape the choreography, you know, like you're doing it on people.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to watch. I saved it on my Instagram cause it was so interesting to watch. So, what do you got?
Besides my squeaky chair. Another 83. Sorry. You know what? I'm doing all 87 next
time. Is this 83 too?
83.
This is 83 as well.
It's 83. 83 too? No. Just 83. And we've mentioned this video before, or we've mentioned the song before.
Or both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to pour some water as you speak loudly.
Anyway, 1983, I think it was maybe January of 83. I have no idea.
All right, that's fine.
I didn't research
January.
Fact check. At some point in 1983, the Eurythmics released a song called Who's That Girl as a single.
Love
and
it.
That became a video, and it became my favorite. In the first, in volume one, we did Sweet Dreams. We talked about Sweet Dreams. But this one, like, I think I might like this video more. Sweet Dreams is so iconic.
It is. It's super iconic, but it's a relatively simple thing. And you,
Who's That Girl? Who's That Girl just is a little bit.
It's like a story.
It's just something really, it's super 80s. It's like. Super 80s.
Well, super
video.
80s in that nostalgia way, too.
Yeah.
Also, my favorite Eurythmics video is Here Comes the Rain Again.
Yeah, I was going to do that one, but at any rate. Who's That Girl? You know, it opens up with Annie Lennox wearing, with her piercing ice blue eyes, wearing a blonde flip wig.
Oh, frosted pink lips.
And she looks like, you know, right out of like 1966. Like she just.
Like a little kind of baby doll black dress, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, quarter, you know, long black gloves and everything. And she's asking, you know, who's that girl? But there's this, like, she's really putting the acting into this expressions on her face in this video. And she's really defiant. She's really pissed and she's really angry in the video. And I just love it. I just love it so much. She's in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. It opens up with a shot of, you know, the nightclub. You see a cigarette girl going from table to table. giving candy and cigarettes out to these people, and you look around the room. Well, I didn't realize all these years that every person in the video was somebody famous, that every person in the room, you know, is somebody. I didn't know that until today. So anyway, there she is in this beautiful red, lush, old school, nightclub.
Yeah.
And so you look around the room, you see all these people, but there's one person in the background that looks sort of like Elvis Presley. He's wearing black with the black slick back hair, kind of a 5 o'clock shadow coming in.
Yeah.
And you're like, that kind of looks a little bit like Elvis, but I don't really know. Well, he is
cute.
And he is also on the cover of the 45. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, I have that record over there. And I remembered, I was like, oh, yeah. That is actually Annie Lennox in...
I want to see that.
In drag. It's actually Annie Lennox in drag. She's not in her...
But he is. I don't know who he is, but he is cute.
He's got his 5 o'clock shadow coming in, and he's just super handsome. At any rate, so David Stewart, who's also in the video, he keeps coming in to like... It's almost like a Hollywood red carpet thing. He keeps coming in with all these different women.
Very much like leaving Studio 54.
Yeah, exactly.
In the 80s, right? With tons of like paparazzi and stuff. It's like that type of leaving a club.
There's a lot of...
A lot of flashes and the hand goes up. A hand goes up all the time.
But, you know, the song, she's very jealous. She wants to know in the song, like, who this woman is that he's hanging out with. And he just keeps making more and more friends. And he's with all these different women. And... it turns out that some of these people, one of the audience members is Kiki D.
Yes.
I had no idea. I was like, what?
So I think that's the redhead, right?
That must be the redhead, right?
Yeah, I think so, yep.
A lot of names I don't know. Hazel O'Connor, Kate Garner. Kate Garner from Hazy Fantasy, from the band Hazy Fantasy, if you remember them at all.
I do, yeah. Yeah.
And then all four members of Bananarama, including David Stewart's soon-to-be wife, Siobhan Fahey, and a future group member, Jackie O'Sullivan, who replaced Fahey in the late 80s.
Yep.
She's also in the video. There's one other significant person in the video, the gender-bending pop star Marilyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, which one's Marilyn? I remember, duh.
Yeah.
It's very obvious which one Marilyn is. And Marilyn went on to...
Well, I was going to say, Marilyn went on to do a lot in the UK. Never got traction here. Mm. I believe there was a single as a singer. There was a single released here. But it was a little... At that point, we already had Boy George.
Yeah.
And that gender-bending thing that Boy George did and does... Now, but now he's mostly all about hats.
Once he got all those braids off.
Yeah. So Marilyn was very, he was kind of like the more like subversive version of that, I think. And never really made it here. But what did the UK hold in store? Like, was there more success?
I don't know. I was asking you.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't look into it.
No, I don't think that. I mean, I think there. He's still a person of interest, I believe.
Yeah, he launched an album that year.
Yeah.
So that's all I know.
And I believe like he's been on Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother UK, and like became. I believe I want to say that he became very enmeshed in that kind of reality world.
Yeah. Well, I became intrigued by the Godly and Cream. Catalog, and so I was curious again, who did Eurythmics, who's that girl, and again I was just completely astonished and totally blown away and going, wow, it's almost like the soundtracks episode last week where you might not know the name of the artist, but you definitely know the music. And it's the same for some of these directors, is you might not know the director's name, but you certainly know their videos. And so the director of Who's That Girl was named Duncan Gibbons. And
Duncan Gibbons.
Duncan Gibbons. Born in England, and I think lived here in the United States until his death in 1993. Oh. But between 1983 and 1987, and again, this is another one where I've cut out, you know, a couple of dozen.
Sure.
Just to highlight. But between 1983 and 1987, that's the year 1987, for anyone who's tired of hearing about 1983. he did videos for ABC. He did Wham. He did videos for Musical Youth. He did the Joe Boxers. He did Careless Whisper, which is a video that I almost picked because I love that song and I love that video. He did the video for Bananarama's Robert De Niro's Waiting, Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go version 2, the live version.
Oh, uh-huh.
He did, in 1985, he did Smuggler's Blues, Glenn Frey's Smuggler's Blues from, it was from a...
Beverly Hills Cop?
Was it Beverly Hills Cop?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I think so. That was a big soundtrack.
Yeah. And then Communards, he did Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam, and he did a Blow Monkeys video as well. So he did all these videos, and so I was very intrigued. I was like, God damn, that's a lot.
He directed Fire with Fire.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God, it's a movie that we're going to watch together.
Oh my God.
I've talked about it on this podcast. He directed Fire with Fire.
Jesus.
It's literally my favorite movie from being a teen.
Oh, my God. Well, he met an unfortunate end in 1993. And, you know, and I thought it was interesting considering that this just happened again last year. But a massive fire in Malibu, California, where he was renting a home in November of 1993. He escaped the wildfire that was coming over the hill. And it began to engulf the home in flames, the home that he was renting in flames.
Oh, my God.
And he escaped and saw a cat in a neighboring home that was trapped. And he decided he was going to rescue the cat. And so he turned around and went back and got the cat, which... he had to dive into a swimming pool because his body caught on fire, and he dove into the swimming pool, covered his body 95% third-degree burns. The chlorine and the chemicals from the pool penetrated his bloodstream, and he was conscious when they rescued him. And asking about the cat, he died a few days later. They found the cat unharmed. Except for a few minor burns. But he gave his life to save this cat, and I think that is a very respectable thing for a human being to do for another living creature. And so bless you, Duncan Gibbons, for saving that cat. And I hope that cat had a long, beautiful life.
Oh, my God, that is tragic.
Thank you for the videos. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Well, now we're going to switch. We're going to switch gears pretty hardcore here. As we talk about our last selection of the evening, I believe. And, man, it is trippy. It is by Genesis. It's by the band Genesis, led by Phil Collins.
Of the Phil Collins 80s.
And of the Phil Collins 80s. And it's called Land of Confusion.
Which I was like, what? I don't even remember that song.
And I didn't either, but I typed in creepy puppet video 80s. Because I knew that I remembered something, right? Yeah. And so this is a video for the Genesis song Land of Confusion, and it features caricature puppets by the creators of a show from Britain called Spitting Image. And so after Phil Collins saw what they made him for the show, and he saw the caricatured version of himself and loved it. And so he commissioned the creators, Peter Fluke and Roger Law, to create the puppets of the entire band, as well as all of the characters in the video. And I would say that there are hundreds.
There are at least.
Of characters in this video. And so they made puppets with the head size of what a human is.
Yeah.
And therefore, people could wear the mask as well, or a version of it,
yeah,
and dance around and do all that stuff, which they do in this video.
Put their pants on. Sit up in bed.
But it's really like a Cold War.
Yeah.
Tale. It.
I didn't remember that.
It starts with puppetized versions, caricaturized versions of Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan. And it opens with them in bed, and that they're going to bed at 16:30, which is 4:30 p.m. And in the middle is what is meant to be the chimpanzee from Bedtime for Bonzo.
Okay, I was
Ronald
like,
Reagan's okay, famous movie okay. that he made when he was an actor about how he had to take care of this very valuable chimpanzee. And so there's a chimpanzee in the middle, and that's who he kisses goodnight. And he falls asleep and has, like, this fever dream.
It's super, super fevery.
Oh, my God. And they show the puppet increasingly, while he's sleeping, increasingly being submerged in sweat.
Yeah. It's so weird.
And then he's underwater, but it's all supposed to be his sweat from this fever, from this dream. And it's basically every politician in the world who was of note at that time.
And everyone else.
Like, at the end, it's all sorts of pop stars and a Tina Turner puppet. And but there's Margaret Thatcher, Gaddafi.
There's a Michael Jackson.
There is...
Bette Midler.
And so like many choices. And either Little Richard or Prince. I can't tell which one.
I'm thinking Prince just because the timing, but maybe not.
Maybe not. And
also, what's he putting on his tongue?
Ketchup and mustard. And then he eats it in a bun. Weird. It is so fucking freaky. And there's someone who's walking through this jungle and picking up all the beheaded heads of all of these politicians. Imagine if that was to happen today.
That video would be on a Twitter account
right
now.
Look what happened to fucking Kathy Griffin.
Unbelievable.
So this was all puppets. And that looked, I mean, obviously over the top versions, but you know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
And it was direct. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the puppets are really, really. I mean, yeah, they're creepy as fuck.
But they're great.
But they're amazing. Like, they're really, really detailed, and they're really lifelike.
Yeah.
For being so caricaturized. Yep.
And it's so good. And I totally forgot the song. And now, listening to it now as an adult, I'm like, I love that.
That's what I was just going to say. I was like, I totally remember the song. I remember the video now. But I needed a memory jogger. And I was like, oh, yeah.
So it was directed by John Lloyd and Jim Uchik, and produced by John Blair. There was a very short-lived Grammy Award. I think it was maybe 4 to 6 years that there was a Grammy Award for Best Concept Video, Music Video, and they won that at the 30th Annual Grammy Awards. The video was also nominated for an MTV Music Award for Video of the Year, and at the time, they were really kind of coming into their own, and people were starting to watch them, and it was already in 87, it was all about like, oh, you're going to see performances that you've never seen. Remember, Madonna was in the very first one, like 84. So it was prestigious to be nominated for that at that time, and it lost to Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
That was going to be one of my picks.
Who was the former lead singer of Genesis.
Yeah. And the videos are very similar.
When Phil Collins was just the drummer.
They're both strangely...
they're both very...
Sledgehammer is very animated and strange, too.
Yep. So, I thought that was really a little interesting twist.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool to see that again. Just the memory of seeing the puppets going, oh my God, I forgot about that. It's funny how many things you forget you know, with, I mean, we've done 50 something episodes now, and we've talked hours and hours and hours about the 80s, and you, and then you still remember, oh yeah.
Every time, and especially with this, and you know, we have always, we've been kind of cognizant of like, oh, we don't want to do too much music in a row. We don't want to do too many movies in a row. And you said yesterday, well, we just did music and we just did soundtracks. And so let's pick something different. But we still went to music, but it's in a different form.
Yeah.
And it really, watching these and like going on YouTube and looking at them and figuring, you know, like watching it and being engrossed in it, like, oh my God. And it does trigger memories. It triggered where I saw them for the first time or that song. That Land of Confusion started playing and he started to sing and I knew every word.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, that was like 35 years ago.
The Hello video as well. It was like, that was definitely on a recorded VHS tape from Friday Night Videos.
Oh yeah.
You know, like definitely was on the tape. And I probably watched it a few times, but then I just remember like forwarding. I would forward through the ones, you know, and like look for the one I really wanted to see, you know, what was that? But yeah, I definitely remember 30 years not seeing it, but then suddenly to see it and go, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I remember the video. I remember there's a story. I remember that the girl is blind. I remember that he is a creepy high school teacher. I remember
Hopefully college.
The stuff that I love.
All right. Yeah. Well, this was fun. I'm so glad we did that. That was fun.
That was a good one.
Because there's a volume three shouldn't be too far away because there's so many good ones and it's so fun to talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, have a couple of laughs, a couple just of whiskeys. Just a couple.
Not too many. Not too many laughs.
Are you going to be... This is going out tonight, so do you...
I'm after this, I'm going to probably cook dinner.
Are you going to be DJing?
I'm watching The Princess Bride again.
Okay,
because great. I watched it like a couple weeks ago, but I wasn't in a real movie watching state of mind, and I probably fell asleep a couple of times. And so I started watching it again last night, and this is a sweet movie. It really is a very beautiful and sweet movie, and there's some great fucking one-liners, and I was chuckling at myself in my room last night. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And please feel free to email and look at all of our stuff. And it's all on our link there above on where you're listening to right now.
And I was going to say, if you do follow us on Instagram, which is Tom Hank Talk 80s. Mm-hmm. Tom Hank Talk 80s.
But you can just type in Tom and Hank talk about the 80s and
we had Bigfoot create the account for us. Tom Hank talk about 80s.
No, it doesn't say about. Tom Hank 80s.
Okay, thank God. tell us what videos you loved. Tell us what videos you watched.
Yeah.
Share your 80s memories with us on our Instagram page, and when we do a post about a thing, if you liked the episode or if you have a comment, feel free to post that on the Instagram and tell us what you liked, what you loved, what you remember watching, what memories you have.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Stay awesome.
Stay rad.
Bye.